Hello, and welcome again to another lecture that is going to talk about effect of COVID-19 on international tourism. Now, as we all know, COVID-19 that came in had a great impact on tourism industry, on international as well as domestic. But here, chapter under being international tourism, we will discuss more on international tourism. But having said this, remember that COVID also has an impact on our domestic tourism. Most of the tourism industry people would like to forget this as a nightmare, as things have come to normalcy and there are no more requirement of any vaccination certification to take up a flight. But yes, it went through a huge amount of disturbance. So that's the reason this has been a special chapter that we need to discuss and talk about. So what has happened? We will first, as normal, we will see the learning objectives, understand the changes in tourism industry post-COVID. We will know about the new rules and regulation for the tourism industry in the post-COVID period. When we talk of post-COVID period, you're talking about 2021, 22, and 23. At the middle of 2021, some destinations started opening up, and the last to open was China, that opened up its international border around end or middle August of 2023. So we will see what happened in the post-COVID era. We will also know about new rules and regulations that were implemented and opened up. Those of you who would have kept track of what happened during COVID, those of you who remember and retain them in their memory, you will be able to understand this chapter quite very well. So let's again understand what is the learning objective is. Know about the emerging opportunities that erupted after COVID. Now, one thing we all know that none in the tourism industry, or for that matter, all around the world, were aware of such thing that could suddenly happen. No one was prepared. It was taken as something that came in March 2020, and that's it. And the whole world got affected with the COVID-19. And mind it, that before that also, many things happened for tourism industry. But the bounce back happened very fast. Be it the tsunami, financial meltdown, political unrest, social disturbances, landfalls, natural calamities, all came in for tourism industry, but reverting back to the growth was much faster as against COVID, where we continuously keep suffering for almost over 2.5 years. We are still not on track, but they claim by end of 2024, if nothing drastic happens, we'll be back on the track to tourism growth. So let's start understanding the impact of COVID on travel and tourism industry. According to the UNWTO organization, the world was facing unprecedented global health, social, and economic emergency as a result of COVID-19. As I mentioned, none was prepared. None even saw this thing in their lifetime. Yes, they say the Spain flu lasted for 3-4 years, but none of those who experienced COVID flu, Spain flu existed at the time of COVID coming in. Most of them were of the past century. So only through the history and the record we read about it, no one who experienced this was alive to talk about exactly, excuse me, what would have happened. So that was seen as travel and tourism are among the most affected sector, with a massive fall of the international demand amid global travel restriction, including many borders fully closed to arrest the spread of the virus. And this was not the case with only international borders It was also the domestic borders of various states were closed for even domestic tourists, even so much that the citizens were not even allowed to come on the street in the period from April, May and June 2020. There were restrictions on coming on the road also was prevailing that time. So effect of an international tourist arrival, we all know that tourism, though recovered at the pre-pandemic level of 63%, we have recovered. Serious published based of January 23 says that we have come back to 63%. Now we are talking a statistic that is made available to us in January 2023, which means more than a year from now onward. More than from 1 year back. The year 2022 saw a strong rebound. Some of them claim this as a revolt tourism. Enough. We stayed at home for more than 1.5, 2 years. We want to revolt and go and take up tourism. Yeah? So 2020 saw a strong rebound in tourism spending, resulting in the recovery of pre-pandemic level in income to many destinations. Started coming in back on track in some way or the other, and we started recovering. Looking at international tourism is set to consolidate its recovery in 2023, which is a year from now, but this is what we are discussing, backed by pent-up demand, particularly from Asia and the Pacific as a destination, our markets open up. Asia recovered very late as compared to Europe and America that bounced back very fast because international borders in Europe were open for one another, likewise in America. So, effect on the economy, let's start seeing, according to UN, World Tourism Corporation, has ravaged economies around the world and several sectors such as travel and tourism have been hit hard. We can't forget that tourism and travel hit hard simply because the international borders and the hotels, airlines, all were not flying. There were only few bubble flights that were going. Some aircraft were taking to the 50% of the capacity. So one seat was left vacant and the other passenger were next to him. So that was the type of arrangement that were initially made. It was estimated that pandemic will cost the global economy $2.6 trillion from 2020 to 2022. It really disturbed the whole economic order of the world, and mainly due to the sharp fall in tourism-related activity. And remember, these tourism-related activities were not happening because there were no international borders that were open. Flights were not operating. Airlines were operating. Only bubble flights that were as per the arrangement. So, effect on the economy, we continue. International tourist arrival fell from 1.5 billion to just 0.4 billion. A drop of, great drop. And it slightly rose from 0.4 to 0.5 in 2021. And then in international tourist arrival raised up to 1 billion. A good turnaround, according to preliminary estimates. So the total loss, we are now taking the account of the loss, and the loss to international tourist arrival for the year 2020, 21 and 22 was minus 2.6 billion based on the previous data. So quite a big loss. Then we have effect on the economy. The direct contribution of tourism to global GDP fell from 3.3 trillion to 1.5 trillion, just less than even one third of it almost. So the tourism direct GDP then rebounded to US dollar 2.5 trillion. Accordingly, the preliminary estimates and the total loss the total loss the tourism direct GDP for the years 2020 and 2021 was $4.2 trillion added up for these 3 years. What a loss, what a suffering, what a disaster that happened during COVID. And traveling internationally will be less across the region, mainly due to the restriction imposed by the government to cross international borders. None was allowed, no international flight was coming in. A third of the destination remained closed. A lot of properties went on sale. A lot of people shifted their job from what they were doing in tourism and hospitality industry to other jobs that they could pick up. And suddenly came a shortfall in the supply chain of the professional to tourism and hospitality industry. What a mess this industry was in. And the situation is changing. Of course, there was a silver line that was seen of the changes. And we are talking something of 2022 end, when we started noticing the change. Now, we pick up understanding from Indian perspective. Indian traveler is somewhat tricky, as some countries will allow them. For example, countries such as US, France, Bahrain, and the Maldives, and so on. And some will not permit them at all. Say, for example, UK, Germany, Australia, Singapore, and so on, did not allow Indians to come in to their country. So quite a tricky scenario was existing during the COVID time. So the new traveler expectation for more hygiene. What is the learning for us? What do we learn? We first learned that we want hygiene and cleanliness is required. We don't want much of a human contact, including the handling of documents. Everything went digital, so that you don't show anything as a hard copy. What we learn more is digital experience, as I mentioned. No hard copies, show it on a digital thing. So now show the documentary proof of a traveler's COVID status. Each was supposed to show COVID vaccination. Some tests were also taken. We will talk about that. COVID-19 tests, RT-PCR, that report is to be provided if you are taking off a travel on a specific date. Digital health passes for travel. There were health passes that were issued to individuals which will identify that you are vaccinated, you have taken the second dose, and you have taken this RT-PCR test where you are reporting as negative for COVID. Yeah. So risk-based framework for safe international mobility was taken care of. So it may be anticipated. So new protocols while traveling were applicable. And that was travel in the post-COVID will be driven by the health and safety aspect. So no human touch of documents and covering the face with the mask, negative test for PT, RT-PCR, and certification of vaccination was required to be presented. This is the new protocol for traveling. In the context of the international travel, the recent happenings are concentrated around two things. They are vaccine passport and the travel bubble. What do we mean by travel bubble is no scheduled flights were operating. The countries were exchanging that there are 5,000 people who are standard to travel from one country to another country or from one city to another. So they would look at bubble flight that you would need to clear this 5,000 passengers, maybe 20 flights. So those travel bubbles were organized and 20 flights were allowed to come into in a specific country to clear this load to go to somewhere. And the fares were just unbelievable. Fares from India to USA was nothing less than 2.5 to 5 lakh rupees. Because there were only travel bubbles which were operation of an aircraft or a service, not with the full capacity of the aircraft, but every single seat was occupied. The second seat was left vacant. That was the scenario. We have a scenario of vaccine passport that was required, known as digital health pass, global interoperability of digital health passes for travel that captures and demonstrates an individual's COVID-19 test, vaccination or recovery status, with strong user data privacy as the key. So that was required to show that, yes, you have been vaccinated and this is digitally proved. It enables travelers to prove securely and easily that they are not infected with COVID at border crossing, which in turn makes international travel safe and efficient. So quite documentation were required, vaccinations were required, and so on and so forth. So what is a vaccine passport? We continue. Is a digital document that will function as a valid certification to show that COVID certification was essential. Is also referred to as an immunity passport. So once you showed that, it was an exhibition that you are vaccinated and your immunity for COVID is great. A vaccine passport is fast becoming a mandatory requirement for people who wish to start traveling again. If you go back to the era when these type of documentation were in process, there were a huge number of lining up at the airport and at the vaccine center within a specific city to get themselves vaccinated and keep the vaccine passport available for international travel to be taken up. So who can use the vaccine passport? Mind it, we are discussing something that would have happened in the past, but because it is a chapter linked and impact on tourism industry, we continue learning about it so that it doesn't only remain as a past, but as an important chapter of the travel and tourism travel history. So in March, China rolled out its digital vaccine passport that could be accessed through an app, allowing authorities to verify the individual vaccine status by scanning a QR quick response code. We continue. Japan announced in April, and we are talking of 23 again. We are not talking of 24. We are picking up all these from 2023. UK announced in May, again, China, UK, Japan, digital green certificate to allow citizens to travel across 27 member countries. And mind this, 27 member countries are in Europe. How can you get a negative vaccine passport? This was a big question. So we have in India, Arogya Setu, making it possible for people to link their passport to their vaccination status. So Arogya Setu was an app that was given to every citizen of India who get vaccination of COVID, where you can show your vaccinated certification upon question. So Arogya Setu, a person can get his or her vaccine passport by following steps mentioned on the website. Vaccine people can go log on to the so-and-so website and instruction of getting a vaccine passport. Travel bubble, I mentioned it. Let's see again. Are also known as travel corridors, are essentially an exclusive partnership between two or more countries. I just said the two countries agree that we have X number of passengers who would need to travel from point A to point B. And for them, the flight which are not scheduled operation of an airline would make arrangements to fly between two different cities. These countries should have shown considerable success in containing and combating the COVID pandemic. Now, those countries who are talking of travel bubble should exhibit that they have successfully controlled the spread of COVID among their own people. And COVID-19 pandemic within their respective borders. It may be noted that India has such arrangement with 28 countries now. Travel bubble flights were operational for 28 countries when we were having this arrangement. So the travel bubble, this include UK, UAE, USA, Canada, Japan, France, Germany, Bahrain, Qatar, Maldives, Sri Lanka, and Nigeria, to list a few. And it, you don't see Dubai here. See? So travel bubbles were, I mean, we are talking when these travel bubbles were operational. That time, UAE wasn't in it. So we could not go to UAE directly. There were arrangements where people were going to Maldives, staying there for 14 days on a special package. And then from there, Maldives, they were flying to UAE because they have stayed in Maldives for 14 days. Likewise, staying in Maldives and then going onward to Saudi Arabia, which was not part of the travel bubble. It may be interesting to see how reopening the sky without quarantine requirement at both ends of a trip could help reboot the global economy. So there'll be some opportunities. We continue understanding on the emerging opportunities and the opportunities in the post-COVID era presented by the change in behavior of the people traveling in both internationally and domestically. So with the implication of travel passport, vaccine passport, travel bubble, negative report on COVID, all help in the change of behavior for international and domestic flying. So growth in domestic was compared to international travel rose drastically because there were not much restriction on domestic travel. Simply a vaccine certification was accepted. And you know, that time we noticed the highest growth seen for Jammu and Kashmir. Over 1 crore people traveled to Jammu and Kashmir. Yeah, which means almost 8 to 9 lakh domestic tourists were going to Kashmir those days. So people will apply due diligence and will select the destination with low risk from the trusted source only. So people were accepting those destinations domestically and internationally where the risk of COVID was minimum. Moving further, growth in an off-peak tourism activities like agri-tourism came up. Also, another thing of arrival is solo travel. I go alone. Allow people to practice hygiene without worrying about travel partners. Yes, so I'm careful. I'm taking all possible care. I'm having sanitizers. I'm wearing a mask. I'm keeping a distance. There is no contact. And I'm going through perfectly fine because I'm a solo traveler. People will be looking for distance locations that are not crowded. Yes, people started picking up destinations that were far. People started going by road. People started picking up all the possible care and hygiene that must be considered for taking up international travel or domestic travel. So, emerging opportunities, it was obvious that the health and wellness tourism will be on the rise. More awareness on health and tourism was on the rise due to increased awareness about health. Now, health and safety now go hand in hand when people are thinking about traveling. Even now, when COVID is a thing of a past, people are careful about traveling with health in a mindset, with hygiene in a mindset. Yeah? That's the scenario. It may be observed that business may be required to have flexible approaches in dealing with their customers. So travel and tourism sector may be using innovation and seeking the integration of new technologies. So the new technologies that we were talking those days were contactless travel, technology use of digital methods instead of hard touchable methods, digital, you show it on digital platform. Or cyber security was in place, it was improved. Another aspect that has to be kept in mind in that context of distance covering or working, and particularly as a remote work becomes So remote working became popular. People were working from home. Jobs were done from home. Meetings were happening. Virtual platform through Zoom or Google Links or Google Meet. A lot of activities started happening as on the platform of virtual platform. So new contact, transparency, interaction as proactive communication will become more important. And again, this was really operation. So how do we look forward? And again, this is a 2023. UNWTO suggested this on the scenarios for 23. International tourist arrival could reach 80% of what was in 2019, sometimes to 95%. Though the fact remains the sum of the destination in the 2024, the current financial year, have even exceeded 2019 statistic. Yes, for certain markets, they have exceeded. So with Europe and the Middle East expected to reach those levels, they have really crossed in 2023. And in 2024, Middle East, Europe have something from 5 to 10% more than what they did in 2019, which is a very positive sign. So survey most of the responsible 72% people. Now this is the way forward that we are looking. The tourism industry is expected to perform better in 2023, which they did definitely. However, most of the experts also believe international tourism will not return to 2019 level until 2024 or later, which was speculation. We still, the 2024, we still have 7 months to go, and we expect that nothing drastically will change in the coming year. Though the Ukraine-Russia war and in recent years the disturbance in recent month, in fact, recent disturbance between Palestine and Israel are a matter of concern, because that is affecting tourism and aerospaces of different countries. So continue some recovery sector of travel and tourism. Some example, U.S. leisure travel is expected to rebound in post-COVID. And all in U.S. have forecasted that we'll see a total domestic trip, both for business, and it will exceed 2019 level. I said quite a few of this in the beginning itself, that people had this feeling of a revolt tourism. Enough, we have sat enough. Now we have all documentation, vaccination, health and hygiene care, and we will travel. So yes, in 2024, some of the figures are very positive, suggesting exceed on 2019 level. Some of the amounts given here, forex spending, which means spending on foreign travel, is 27 billion, a boom that was seen. And a recent report by the India's Reserve Bank of India, 90% of the US 7.5 billion jump in foreign exchange spending is from tourism, which is a very positive sign. Okay, way forward. According to UNWTO, the travel and tourism sector will emerge as a winner for the situation by adapting to its strength, reducing weakness. Of course, you need to take care of your strength. Though in a SWOT analysis, you would also see at the weakness, but weakness will be overcome with the strength, identifying opportunities which we took into way forward and overcome the threat. So what are the strengths? As I mentioned, we look at our strength and weaknesses. Our strength in tourism sector is resilience of tourism in past crisis. I counted on quite a few past crises where tourism bounced back very fast. Adaption capacity, people started accepting safety and hygiene, and value for money, responsible consumer behavior started to be noticed. People were more responsible in accepting whatever whichever no contact things were into practice. And the government always consider fiscal incentive or some packages as support to the sector. This is, we are talking about the countries who offered these sort of facilities to the national tourists, and some country invited tourists to come to their country, and they were giving them some free insurance if they would visit. Uzbekistan was one of the countries that was offering $2,500 worth of a free treatment in case if the arriving passenger and staying passengers in their country get affected by COVID. And likewise, so this strength helped to the growth of tourism sector. In the SWOT analysis, we look at a weakness. Some of the market segment potential affected are also high spenders. Yes, high spenders are always taken as market segment. And long-haul sector started seeing growth, business travel and events started happening. That was not happening as a weakness, I'm talking. High spenders stayed back. And the domestic travel is also affected. That was a weakness in the travel and tourism sector. A major disruption in airline industry because airline failures and concentration on their scheduled flights. And of course, perception of travel as a risk. A lot of people started failing. What if I'm on a flight and I get infected with the COVID? What will happen? So these were the weakness that we saw. Another chapter from the weakness is with the restriction of travel to continue, which of course is not a fact. All the restrictions have been uplifted, but we are looking at the post-COVID era. The weakness was if some of the travel recession continue, the level of demand when restarting tourism due to social distancing, there were incidents where corpses of a human being were not disposed of in many parts of the country in India. They were just allowed to be float. Yeah. And some of the dead bodies were abandoned in certain areas. Yeah. That was the post-COVID area and a weakness. Lack of reference in previous downturns. Yeah. So we don't take the references from what happened in the past. An opportunities understanding, organization may rethink their business model. They were rethinking on how to do business. Like airlines started thinking of travel, bubble flight, leaving one seat vacant, offering that instead of two seats, one seat was offered, and different hygiene were adopted. Then there is a scope of innovation and digitalization. A lot of new technologies were seen, including web check-in, web boarding, and clear boarding passes, web passes. All this was seen as an opportunity. Sustainability was given priority because the growth that was continuously shown as registered growth, the rural and nature and health was taken priority as a segment to be explored. Nature, people were interested in seeing the nature rather than going in the mass tourism to the crowded place. De-escalation phases initiated by several countries towards the new norm. So no escalation should happen. And the norm was taken to take it easy. Progress in adoption plan, in destination and companies was functional and seen. And let's count on the threats. Uncertain economic environment, recession, rising unemployment, and job risk. Now, many things of that was seen in tourism industry. People lost their jobs. People, recession was seen. No business activities, no tourism, no economic multiplier were happening because if one industry is down, any supporting industry to that, linked with that industry, will not see a growth, and in turn, other revenue generation sources were not available. So that was seen as a recession. Closure of business was happening. People had little income. Their priority was to lead and live life successfully. Travel wasn't considered as the priority. So that was a threat. And people weren't sure how long this pandemic will continue. Number of times it was announced that things will be back, and suddenly an outbreak somewhere, so everything was back to what they were doing as normal. So lockdowns and travel restriction continued for a longer time, and how long it would continue, that was a threat. That's this. An unknown form of the new norm. A lot of people were not knowing what to do, and that was taken as a threat. With this, I conclude my lecture. You are listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. It was my pleasure to talk to you and share my knowledge with you. Thank you for listening.